Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is...
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
On News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Miche is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche.
Hey, welcome to the show. And it's a little bit later than our usual start. Things happen. Might have to start calling it the Little Too Late Show instead of the Not Too Late Show. Anyway, I am your host, Miche Meisner, where it's never too late to step into your power, express your gift, or discover your genius and turn up your light. And when we activate that in ourselves, we actually shift the planet. Today, I'm talking with Barb Ryan, a dear friend and the guidess of happiness. I'm pretty sure she's the only one with this title, and you will soon find out how it came about, and you'll see why it's such a perfect fit. Barb has been a counselor for over 30 years, and she is also, no surprise, a happiness coach, author of the book Love Loves Fear, and talented in many other ways, which we may or may not hear about. Barb's philosophy is that connecting with the core of happiness is personally beneficial, as well as exponentially helpful in creating an energy shift for the whole planet. And can't we use that now? She's dedicated to teaching people how to raise their energy vibration to a more joyful experience no matter where they begin. Spreading joy by teaching happiness tools, Barb Ryan is changing the world one person at a time. And I don't know if any of you have seen the video that I posted in advance of this, of the two of us cracking up while we were trying to do an interview several years ago, but I got to tell you, there's something contagious, just the energy of me and Barb together. As I was reading, she's dedicated to teaching people how to raise their energy. What my brain wanted to say was dedicated to teaching people how to raise their eyebrows. And I knew that wasn't right. And I'm reading. So, you know, fortunately, I caught myself. But there you go. Here we are. Barb, welcome. And maybe start with telling us how you became the guidess of happiness.
Sure. So, yes, I'm Barb Ryan, the guidess of happiness. And as Miche said, I was a counselor. It's been like 35 years now that I'm a counselor. And after about 27 years of being a counselor, so almost 10 years ago, it dawned on me through a conversation with my daughter that I was feeling a shift and wanting to do something differently. And I was already doing kind of positive psychology and an eternal optimist and wanting to really work with people on loving themselves and raising their vibration and treating themselves and everybody else so much better when they have the choice to. And then it dawned on me, and it really was just something that came to light, that I could be a happiness coach. And I began to change my website, my business, created a nonprofit. At the time, it was called Spiraling Toward Joy, still the business. It's no longer a nonprofit. And the title, Guidance of Happiness, it came when I was doing happiness classes. I still do some online. And I was doing happiness classes in person. And at the end of each of the classes, somebody would get into the center of the circle and say what they wanted to bring into their life. And I was in the center, and I talked about doing more happiness work. And one of the women said, "I see you as the guidance of happiness." And it stuck. I chose to have a website of that name. I chose to use it as my job title and therefore my job description. So you are talking with Barb Ryan, the one and only guidance of happiness.
Yeah, that's awesome. And actually, I was there when you received your virtual crown, and it was a great moment and very apt. Yeah, so thanks for that. And, you know, I also believe that how we feel, how we vibrate and emanate our sort of signature frequency affects everything and everyone around us in some way, whether, you know, minuscule amount or enormous amount. And that the more that we keep ourselves in our own positive centered alignment, the more that adds to the soup, right? The happiness soup.
Right? That surrounds us all. Yes.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So out of this work came tools of upliftment. Ways to uplift ourselves and learn some ways to think differently about ourselves and then therefore feel differently and behave differently and people respond to us differently and raises our vibration, etc. And I know that it's a call-in show. And if you give the number out again for people to call in, people may want to call in and have them be the person that can use the happiness tool live, or you can be the one that I work with instead of just explaining it. But I'd love to teach a couple of them today, and we're at the end of a really, really, really hard year and looking forward to wonderful things, and I'd like to help people be able to shift that.
Right. And I will give out the number. I'll give it out now, and then after what I want to say about that, the phone number to call in is 646-595-4274. And you can also email us while we're online at ontheair@telus.net, which is TELUS.net. So what I wanted to mention before we go deeper, because it was something that would come up often in the course on happiness or in some of our other work, that people would kind of balk at this happiness business, you know. Yes. And one of the particular ways it would come up is sort of, you know, are you telling me to just, you know, jump up and be happy when, you know, these hard things are going on, I'm feeling morose or downtrodden or just outright depressed, and you want me to just get all like bubbly. And I'm going to say the phone number again, and then I would like you to respond to that. I was just told that you can also use area code 206 or 760. So the number is sorry, I'm reading a note from those. Oh, okay. Well, there you go again. We have two callers. One of them from area code 206 and one from 760. Hang on a second, Barb. Would you respond to my statement or my question? Are you trying to just make everybody all bubbly and happy when, you know, heavy stuff is going on, and then we'll take the calls?
Right. Thank you. And one of those is this, the ability to laugh at ourselves. And no, I don't expect people to have a goal of being happy or a happy meter that they need to meet. What I like to do is teach people that they can shift their feelings just to a little bit of relief. You can go from really depressed to having something to possibly look forward to that brings some relief. And so any feeling that brings us a little bit of relief from where we already are at is what I consider an upliftment tool. And that's why they're called upliftment more than happiness tools, because uplifting could be from depression to anger, because anger is a higher vibration. We feel like moving and doing something. So it just raises the ability, it teaches us that we have the ability to change how we feel.
I like that. And yeah, I teach people that we are not our emotions. And, you know, we can feel like we're stuck in an emotion or that we are that emotion. And when you realize that you can shift it, even to just feel a little bit better than you were feeling before, you are also able to access more of your own creative thinking or problem solving or solution finding, you know. So even when you're in a rough place, if you can just step up just a little bit, you have more to work with, you know, for your own evolution. Kind of a big word, but sometimes it is that big.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's start with area code 206. So 206 area code, you are on the call. Who are you and where are you calling us from?
Hi, this is Diana Castillo. I'm calling from Corvallis, Oregon. And I actually don't have anything to say other than I really appreciate what you're doing, and I am totally in alignment with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Diana.
Yeah, thanks for
calling
in.
Thank you so much.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you.
Okay. What's that?
I just said I appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm in like an altered happy state. I don't know. So thank you for that. Yeah, really appreciate you. And one of the ways to lift, you know, you can lift yourself and you can also help lift other people. And one way to do that is by appreciating them and just letting them know, you know, how you feel about them. So thank you so much for doing that. Mm-hmm. And let us take the next call, which is area code 760. So area code 760, you are live.
Hi, Nita. It's Shannon calling from Southern California.
Nice.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I called in because I love to be the guinea pig at whatever tools that help. So I was calling in to be that.
All right. Love it. And you and I know each other from, you've been a client and been in the Cosmic Alignment Tribe with me for months. Mm-hmm. So we have a pretty good sense of each other, but I don't think you've ever actually met Barb.
No, I have not.
Okay. Barb Ryan, meet Shannon Zacharias. What would you like to work on? Where are you feeling stuck?
Well, you know, I had a lot of anxiety about the future coming up, you know, recently, last night, and, you know, even this morning, writing down a dream and realizing that, you know, I have a lot of fear around what's going to happen to me personally, not necessarily around getting sick or COVID, but what am I going to do? What am I going to do for money or, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just want to make sure I have your name right. Did you say Shauna?
Shannon.
Yes, Shannon.
With
an N. Okay. Shannon. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Shannon, would you consider those fears a worry? I would like to teach you to shift worries to wonder. Would you be willing, just for this exercise, to call it a worry that you have?
Yes, it is definitely a worry. Yes.
Okay. So what I would like you to do is name it as a worry and say, here's one of the things that I'm worried about. I am worried that, and then just in one sentence, tell me what you're worried about, and we'll go from there.
Here is one of the things I'm worried about. I'm worried about how I will pay my mortgage coming up if I don't have work coming, you know?
Okay. And so now, where in your body are you feeling that worry? Where do you notice that feeling of stuff?
A tightness in my chest, like a difficult to take in a deep breath, like an anxiety almost.
Yes.
Feeling it in my chest a lot.
Okay, and what number would you give that? You know, like a pain number? How tight?
Oh, it's probably a 6.
Okay, yeah. So now we're going to take that worry and we're going to shift it to a wonder, and you're going to notice if, when, how that pain or that stuckness shifts. So I'm going to ask you to be wondering, and I'm going to start you off because people aren't very used to wondering how something can happen. Sometimes we wonder if. And wondering if is just another way to say I'm worried about. But when we say I wonder how, when we say I wonder how, or I wonder who, some of the ideas could be, I'm going to say a couple of them and then turn it over to you and just from your heart space be wondering. So I'm going to make it up and say, I wonder. I wonder where the money will come from for the mortgage. I'm wondering how today I can rest in the knowing that somehow this will be resolved. I wonder who may show up that would help me and give me ideas of how to think this through. I wonder what types of possibilities there are that money can come through, that the mortgage payment could be late, that the things that I haven't even thought of could appear as I let go of the worry and turn it into wonder. So, Shannon, you can even use some that I use just to prime the pump and just wonder for a moment how and who and what. Let me hear you do your own wondering.
Okay. I wonder how I will be able to pay my mortgage. I wonder who may come into my life to provide, help me provide that answer. I wonder who might show up that will help guide me to the answers. I wonder I wonder how it would feel just to let go of all that worry and know that I'm being supported by the universe and that there is nothing to worry about. I wonder how that would feel. I really do.
Yeah. Okay.
Wonder,
so right there, Shannon, I want to just grab that moment. You giggled. You laughed. You released.
What number
is that tightness? What number is that tightness at now?
Oh, it's definitely like down to a 2. And actually, I noticed it shifted when you were doing the wondering.
Yes. And that's what happens. We begin to train our brain as we wonder. We automatically let go of worry. As we wonder, we automatically smile saying the word wonder. As we wonder, as we smile, we get a dopamine dump in our brains and we feel just a little bit better. And everybody on this call, and there's plenty of them who are worried about money or were up until this moment, they also felt that shift. And I stopped you when I did because you laughed. And laughter changes our breathing. It changes our chest feeling. It changes our vibration, our upliftment. It was a natural giggle that you had. And in less than a couple of minutes, you moved from the intensity of a 6 chest pain to a 2. And
I noticed that anxiety feeling is not there. You know, I'm smiling, so that's good.
Yes. And I noticed that when you really began to feel into and lean into, I wonder how I'd feel to let this go, all of a sudden it was like you were letting a lead weight go.
Yeah, right.
You were letting the worry of it go. So therein lies the quote-unquote magic of this tool. We can shift our worries to a wonder. So thank you so much for participating and feeling that.
Thank you, Barb. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you can teach it to everyone you know. You've just taught it to a lot of people that are listening, but it's something that you can use every day about anything. It doesn't have to get
to a big number.
You're welcome.
Great job, both of you. Awesome. And in case anyone is listening to that and then, you know, feels like after they ask the question, they need to come up with a list of answers, that could put you right back into worry. The idea is to stay in the wonder and to let that vibration just, you know, be what you're feeling and relax into it and give yourself that bit of space.
Yes, yes. Because there's no right answer. It's about release. And the reason that I do it with people first and kind of prime the pump, so to speak, is so, as you heard Shannon say, that she began to feel some relief as I was taking it from her as an example. And then I handed it back to her, and the vibration was already a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it helped me, too. I actually wasn't worrying about, you know, I wasn't feeling that kind of anxiety. But as Shauna started to talk about what was going on for her as an empath, and obviously not with like my shield up in a good way, you know, I started to feel it. I started to feel tight and cold in my chest. And I recognized because I pay attention to these things that it wasn't mine. It, you know, that I was picking up on what Shauna was talking about and feeling. And then even as you were priming the pump, I felt that letting go and relaxation, you know, and then even more so as I could hear the change in Shannon's voice, you know, how you were just relaxing and, you know, almost like I could almost feel your shoulders, you know, sort of let go from trying to get up into your ears. And so another thing about this is, you know, you can teach it to other people. You can do it. You can help other people by priming the pump, you know, when you get comfortable with this sort of thing. And if you just even do it for yourself, you're changing that energy around you. And if you do it for yourself, like in the out loud, you know, let's say you're, you know, you're in a conversation with a friend and you start going into that kind of worry, and then you can switch up gears and notice it and just share what's going on, then you're also alleviating worry for the person, you know, that you're interacting with. And just by modeling, you know, teaching some other way to be than our habitual.
It's a great communication skill that brings more intimacy into a relationship. For instance, Miche is one of the close friends that when I have a worry, I can call and say, Miche, would you help me wonder about this? Because sometimes I might feel a little stuck in my own self, and it's helpful to have somebody help prime the pump. I'm not asking her for answers or solutions or to pay my mortgage. I'm just saying, wow, would you help me wonder about this? And in the same vein, we can say to a friend, would you like me to help you wonder about that? And be prepared. Sometimes the friend might say, no, not yet. I need to think on it more, or I just really want to be in my anger for a moment. I really want to feel this. And then when they're ready to shift, they will. Maybe with your help, maybe on their own. It's about learning the tool and how to get in your toolkit for when you want to use it.
Great. We've got a question emailed by Shelley, and it is, how do we stay in that elevated place after the exercise once we're back in our own head, in our own, and trying to get through the day or worse, through our night?
And Shelley, the idea is that we don't really stay in the elevated place, and we don't want to get stuck anywhere, and it ebbs and it flows. And we want to enjoy the ebb and the flow. But when we begin to feel the worries come crashing back in, that's when we can do, oh, wait, pause. I'm going to wonder about that. And we'll teach another tool here in a moment, too. But you just grab it again and say, I wonder. I wonder how it would feel to let that go. I wonder how it would feel to be able to expand my feelings right now. I wonder how I could feel just 10% happier right now, and just play with the idea of wonder. So you can do it all day, every day. You know, if we feel like we're naturally, quote unquote, a worrier, or we go to that place, it's a habit. We've been trained to do that. So we're training ourselves instead to grab that worry and look at it, hug it, and say, I wonder what to do with you, you know, in a very loving, compassionate way. It's about loving ourselves.
All right, just a second here. Did you just say hug the worry?
Yes, I did.
What's up with that?
Yep. I said, we just give it a big hug because we love and are grateful for the worry, even though it may seem like a saboteur and it's messing with us, its intention is often to get us to pay attention to something that needs to change. The mortgage needs to be paid, right? The, you know, schools need to start back up. I need to get a vaccine, whatever it might be that we're worried about. When we can greet that worry as a friend who's inappropriately giving us a message and say, let's wonder about that together. Because I know your intention is for me to feel better, resolve things, and take care of business. And when I worry, I get stuck in it, and none of that happens.
Great.
So actually embrace the worry like an old familiar friend.
That is a very good turnaround, because usually we feel, I certainly have felt in the past, you know, that the feelings that come up or the fears or what stops you is like the enemy. And, you know, at some point it became clear to me that I'm on my side. All of me, all of what I bring is actually on my side. And I like how you said kind of inappropriately, like, okay, you're letting me know about the anxiety, but could you lower your voice just a little bit, you know?
Like, exactly.
Or could you, you know, pick up your socks or your shoes and not take up quite so much space in my house, right? But to acknowledge it. And I think that as we do that, as we play with that, those parts of us that have been trained themselves to protect us by being overly loud or taking up too much space or blocking your progress start to sort of normalize and come, you know, be like a better guest or a better friend rather than a drama queen.
Because there's a saying that says we teach people how to treat us.
Yeah.
Well, we teach ourselves how to treat ourselves. We
Absolutely.
Teach ourselves to notice the patterns of negative thinking and shift them. So we're noticing how we want to be treated more lovingly by our own self.
Awesome. And I would toss out one of the other happiness tools that we know and use is putting the phrase "even though" in front of what we might be saying. So,
Just before we go there, can I gently, lovingly interrupt? What it reminded me of in the natural flow of things, and then we can still have time to go there, it reminded me of the theme, love, love, fear. And as you mentioned, it's a book that I wrote, but it came out of a visualization as a happiness tool. And it's part of that loving the worry, loving the fear, loving the anger. So I'd like to sort of say that as a spoken word, as a happiness tool, as a upliftment tool for everybody listening. They can close their eyes and I'll say the love, love, fear sort of spoken word, and then we can go to the other tool. Does that sound okay?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. So if you choose, close your eyes and listen to this story about the relationship between love and fear. Love, love loves everything. Love loves everything, especially fear. Fear. Fear fears everything. Fear fears everything, especially love. Love, love just beams love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love beams love at the fear. Well, this scares the fear so much that it gets really, really, really big and angry and tries to scare the love away. But love, love just loves. Love beams love. Love just beams love at the fear. Well, now that scares the fear so much that it runs and runs and runs and runs and runs and runs all corners of the world. It just keeps running to get away from the love. And don't you know that no matter where you end up, the love is there. The love is there in the same way that the air we breathe is there. And the love continues to beam and radiate love at the fear. Well, this scares the fear so much that it has one more trick up its sleeve. It gets really, 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 really tiny because it's going to hide and the love won't find it. That's the idea. But what happens is, as the fear gets so tiny, it realizes it is totally surrounded by love. And it surrenders to that love. And it feels that love. And the love just embraces the fear, loves the fear. The fear becomes part of the love. And love is all there is. So when the fear got really afraid of love and it tried to get angry and it tried to run away and it tried to disappear, none of that worked. And it's not because the fear is weaker and the love is stronger. It's not because there was a battle. It's because love is all there is. And as the love surrounded the fear, all the fear could do is surrender to the love. So you could use that with worry also and just surround those worries with love.
A great tale and lesson. And the book is also got gorgeous illustrations. And I'll
by
say
Elise
it again
Tennessee.
At the end. What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
by Elise Tennessee. Elise Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you can find the book on Barb's website, which I'll mention again at the end, but it is guidanceofhappiness.com. And you'll see a tab for Barb as the author and the book of Love Loves Fear. You can purchase it there. Thank you for that. Hopefully, you know, everybody's like a little more relaxed. We have actually two emails that I would love to get to. So let's just jump into that. Okay.
Yeah.
And we have about not quite 20 minutes just to give you an idea. Jennifer is asking, what if you're depressed and just don't feel anything? What can we do from that place?
Okay. And this is a great place to use the tool that Miche was just mentioning called Even Though, right? And in this tool called Even Though, we start right where we're at. We always, always, always start right where you're at. So I would say, even though I am so depressed, even though I'm so depressed, it feels like I'm feeling nothing at all. Even though I'm so depressed, and I feel nothing at all. What I know to be true, what else I know to be true is. And there's a blank there. And we fill in that blank with something that we know to be true, that we can rely on, that we can reach out to, that we can anchor on, that we can sit upon, even in our depression. Miche, do you have an example for that, or I could heartstorm some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one thought is you could, and so, you know, the thing about starting right where you are is to acknowledge and honor that, yes, you are actually feeling that way. And the other end of the even though is acknowledging that it's possible to feel some other way, or at other times it's felt different, so that what you're feeling right now is not made of stone. You know, even no matter how long you've been depressed, and I speak as someone who spent most of my life quite depressed, there are other possibilities, even just in the course of a day. Like when you're sleeping, you're probably not actually depressed. That's a little other branch.
Start with the even though.
So even though I feel really depressed, sometimes I feel peaceful.
Can you say what I know to be true is that? Can you word it in this way, that even though I feel really depressed, what else I know to be true is?
Right. Well, there you just said it. So there you have it. It adds a little.
But I want you to say it so that you
feel
it, so that people. Yes, so that you feel it, so that others feel it. I'm guiding you as though I was working with you.
Right,
and that's the part that
right.
I left out. You said, sometimes.
Okay. Even though I feel really depressed, what I know to be true is that sometimes I feel peaceful.
And you had said even when you're sleeping or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was part of my teaching, not part of, you know.
Right, but I'm saying it could be added there for somebody. That could be something they know to be true.
Yes. Right.
It's just an example.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how did it feel as you did that? I know that you might not be feeling really depressed at the moment, but, you know, we have body memories. We have ideas about what that feels like. How did it feel for you, Miche, to shift it with the even though and what I know, what else I know to be true is?
It felt uplifting. I actually think I sat up an inch taller, you know, from the semi-slouch that I was in. And so, yeah, I mean, there was something in my body that just that felt good. And again, because you're not negating, you know, what your experience has been, you know, it's there's not a pushback, you know, internally. Like, what do you mean, you know? A cousin of that tool would be up until now.
Yes.
So up until now, I've been feeling really sad and depressed.
Yeah.
And now, in the next moment, there are new options. And I wonder what it back, right?
Yeah.
It's competing. It's a,
right?
A combination of tools. So up until now, I've been feeling this, or this has been my experience, or I always, whatever, I'm always late. And I wonder now how that is going to be different. Just simple like that. Okay.
Because words are so important. Words are how we manifest things. And that's why throwing in the words of shifting worry to wonder, throwing in the word up until now, because up until now it's true, but it doesn't mean it's always true forward and or in this moment. And being able to say what else I know to be true, sometimes it simply gives us a landing. Some people will say things like, what I know to be true is that gravity happens. That's the only thing they can reach for at that moment. But it still gives you a landing point that there's something else you know to be true. It doesn't even have to be about a feeling, but it gives you somewhere to land for a moment. And then you do it again.
All right. I want to move on to Dina's question so that we have time to answer her too. She asks, I've been on my own a lot, too much since April 2020, and I'm wondering if you can suggest tools to help with this extreme ongoing isolation.
Right. So tools that will help with the ongoing isolation, right? And some of these are can be practical tools. Like you're writing into the show, you're listening to the show, you're getting involved in something outside of yourself. There's one thing people can do, and whether they're Zooming for the first time ever or listening to more radio shows or podcasts or reaching out to people in some way, those are all those ideas. And you can sort of even Google things about, you know, what to do with the time to not feel as isolated, to be able to connect with people. And whether it's meetups that are virtual or Facebook groups. The other part that I'm hearing here is if you were live on the show, I would say, how are you feeling about that? How are you feeling about the isolation? You know, if the person was feeling sad or feeling lonely, I would then work with them on how to shift that feeling. That even though right now I'm feeling pretty sad and lonely, what I know to be true is that this is going to be lifting at some point. And just kind of start there for a moment, right? Then we might have the energy to go, okay, I think I'll check out a radio show or a Zoom or, you know, organize my books or take a snack or a nap. You know, just taking care of ourselves in the midst of all of this.
Yeah, great suggestions. I would also add, similar to what you were saying, and if you, Dina, were live on the air with us, we could play with this together. What is the story that you're telling yourself about this situation? Right. So yes, ongoing extreme isolation, as so many people are dealing with, and it is difficult, especially for extroverts. It's difficult for introverts too, but I think it's doubly, you know, for extroverts. But whenever we're feeling something or having an experience, there's usually kind of an internal dialogue that's going on or monologue saying, you know, and I can't stand this anymore, or I'm just going to, I feel like I'm shriveling up and dying, or, you know, whatever, something like this is never going to end. And so these tools can also, if you sit with yourself a little bit and just try to be aware and mindful of what it is, what the words you're using, what the scenario is in your head, like the fear of it going forward, then you can apply any of these other tools to that. A lot of times we're not aware of, you know, we feel and we're in the middle of our feelings and we're feeling. And, you know, if we can slow down and take a breath and realize that a lot of that feeling is coming from what we're telling ourselves about the thing or about the event or whatever.
Yeah.
So, So I guess the simple tool is take a couple of breaths and notice what you're telling yourself.
Yes. And in the tools of upliftment, one of the tools is called restorying, that we look at a story that we're telling ourselves and we begin to tell it differently. And when this is done in a group, it's really powerful. All of these different tools, when they're done in a group and we have a witness and we have someone holding us in that place of believing that things are shifting for us, you know, believing that we are okay, believing that right where we are lovable as we are, and we have the ability and the support to shift it even a tiny bit. And those can even be done online. I'll be offering some online happiness drop-in classes or groups and teaching the upliftment tools. They'll be on my website. There is a calendar on there, and they'll be announced on there. So one more way to reach out.
Right. And any of these sort of live events, you know, especially if like they're on Zoom, I have found Zoom really good. It's the next best thing to being there, where you can really meet someone and, you know, also get their body language and their facial expressions. And so you feel like you're knowing them or, you know, having a more full experience. And going to events where there's some group activity, you know, where there's maybe some conversation between people, you might wind up making your new best friend or meeting your new best friend there. I have friends, dear friends, that I've been connected with for 4 and 5 or more years now, and we've only ever met through, you know, visited together through Zoom, and I don't feel that it's any less a real emotional heart connection than any of the people that I have connected with in the flesh, in person. So look at your interests, you know, what might you want to learn something more about, or what, you know, some new area that you're curious about, and look online and see what's possible, you know, where you might get together while still being isolated. It'll change how it feels. So we have just a few more minutes. So Barb, I guess I would like you to say a little bit more about what you're doing online, including you've been doing these events you call the Night of Insight. And so say a little bit about that. And again, people can find out what's upcoming on the calendar on Barb's website, which is guideusofhappiness.com. But tell us what you're up to.
Yes. So the third Thursday of every month from 7 to 9 Pacific Standard Time, I host something called a Night of Insight. And there's descriptions of it on my website. There's links to YouTube that you can watch previous ones and what has happened. But it's basically me playing a singing bowl, and people have written in questions. And for lack of a better word, I channel responses from the spirit of happiness, maybe teachings come through about all kinds of different topics that are really relatable to everybody, even people who are listening to them later. And I want to say that about this show too, that people who listen later and listen to the happiness, to the upliftment tools that Micha and I have talked about, will also feel that upliftment. It doesn't have to be live. So you can get more information about the Night of Insight. You can get information about classes that I'll be starting up or drop-in workshops that I'll be doing. And I have a few other projects in the works that they'll begin to show up on my website also. And I work with people individually. I'm still a counselor as well as a life coach and do individual sessions with people through Zoom. And when I say Zoom, I mean any kind of video chat. Some people will FaceTime, some will Facebook video chat, some will Skype. So anyway at all, and some will just do a phone call sometimes too. But I'm available to people for one-on-one sessions.
Great. All right, two things. One, don't mean to put you on the spot,
right.
You have a beautiful written out Tools of Upliftment, and I'm wondering where people can find that or how they can get that from you.
Well, my website is being redone at the moment. It used to be that you could go to the website and download it for free. If that's not true in this moment, it'll be true very, very soon. Right. And it is called Tools of Upliftment, I believe. And it has 9 or 10 of them on there, and it can be yours for the taking. You can download it. And if it's not there yet, you can also reach me on the website through an email there, and I will figure out how to get it to you. As I said, the website's being conglomerated something. Miche knows more about what's happening to it than I do right now, but it's being redesigned, and and that's where you'll find. So Guidess, G-U-I-D-E-S-S, Guidess of Happiness, all one word, .com.
Great.
And on YouTube, Spiraling Toward Joy is the YouTube channel.
Excellent. So I created, after I started doing the show, I created a Facebook group called The Not Too Late Show. And that's also where I will be posting notes from the show and the links and the email addresses and all of that good stuff, and also where you can even send a message to Barb. If it works out for you, we could even post the Tools of Upliftment in that group where people could download it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Good.
Sure.
So we can
make an attempt
plan to
do that. Yes.
Great. Mm-hmm. So check out the Not Too Late Show Facebook group. It's a public group, and so one of the reasons I did that is so that you can easily share any of this information, any of the links, any of the episode replays, and to find all the links to the replays for any of the shows. Mm-hmm. We are on episode number 8, and they've all been awesome. In the last couple of minutes, I just want to tell you about a group that I run. I've talked about it before, the Cosmic Alignment Tribe. It's a subscription group on Facebook where 6 to 8 times a month I go live on Zoom with whoever is attending, in the group, and it's also recorded for everybody. And I do energetic healings and clearings and transmissions, and teach various thought processes and energies, sort of mind-body energy modalities to help keep you aligned with your higher self and with your integrity and your wish to continue to be the new version of yourself. And it's also listed in the group, but you can find out more about that by going to bit.ly/catsgroup2020.
And I would like to say that I highly recommend that group. I'm a member of it. And I highly recommend that Miche has not said, maybe she's about to, but she's pretty humble, that she does individual sessions with people also. That Miche is an amazing healer. You've had just little tidbits today of some of the ways that we use happiness tools together, but Miche has her own set of ways that she has developed of working with people, and she's one of the main people that I go to. So I highly recommend Miche's work for you all too.
Oh, thank you, Barb. I appreciate that. One other tool that I wish we had had more time for, but it seems like a good way to sort of go out on this episode is one that Barb and I created together. Just sort of spontaneously came up, and it's I see you and I raise you. And it's sort of on many levels, right? It's a pun. I see you, I raise you, I bring more. I see the all of you, or I see the maybe the mess of you that you feel you are right now, but I also see the all of you, the beauty, the divinity of you. So I see you where you're at, I acknowledge where you're at, and I raise you in my viewing of you, my vision of you, hold that there until you can get there on your own.
Yes.
So,
and Miche and I often end our emails or our greetings with each other to say, I see you and I raise you.
Right. And so to everyone listening, I see you and I raise you, and I wish you a wonderful, expansive, delightful year to come with more joy than you can even conceive of in this moment. So thank you, everybody, and catch us next week. Take care.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.